This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by the New York State Turfgrass Association, the Turfgrass Environmental Stewardship Fund, and your Cornell Turfgrass Science Program. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University, and these are observations and recommendations for the week, May 12th, 2014. A shift in the weather pattern has brought a return of some foliar pathogen issues, notably dollar spot. Our model indicates high risk for dollar spot region-wide last week. The upside of warm weather is the beginning of our spring surge of growth. This surge often requires additional mowings to keep pace with clipping production. Remember, cool season grasses produce about 60% of the entire clipping production for the season in the first 6 weeks. Annual bluegrass seed heads are also beginning to surge, and many are evaluating their seed head suppression programs. As of yet, it appears early to conclude if one program or timing was more effective than another. Looking forward to another warm and wet week with a strong and slow system moving through the latter part of the week. The warm, wet weather will continue to encourage the spring surge, so be mindful of practices such as fertilization to minimize excessive lush growth. Our forecast update from last week was a mixed bag of temperatures across the region, with the west 2 to 4 below normal, along the coast at or slightly above normal. Degree days accumulated at a slightly increasing rate, as by the numbers we are equal to last season but still behind the 15-year average. Broadleaf weed control options are now available with the ester formulations in the Hudson Valley and southern New England. Soil temperatures range from the low 50s to the north to the upper 60s to the south and on Long Island. From a moisture perspective, some residual high amounts of rainfall passed through towards the end of last week that provided about 1 inch of moisture region-wide. Evapotranspiration was high to the south at about 1 inch, about 3/4 of an inch to New York City, out to Long Island, and 1/4 to 1/2 inch upstate in northern New England. Many ended last week in slight moisture deficit based on ET and rainfall, so some drying is underway. Now, the forecast for the coming week: expect fairly warm week with temps 5 above normal for highs and 10 above normal for lows. Showery period will begin Tuesday, Wednesday, and persist through the weekend. And watch for the foliar disease risk to increase. And you can check out all our maps and predictions on the forecast website, available through our Cornell Turfgrass website. Our cooperative extension update comes from the Cornell Cooperative Extension programs in both the Capital District and in Westchester County. First, from Dave Chinnery on Poa trivialis. A county resident sent in a sample of Poa trivialis from a relatively new seeded lawn. Poa trivialis, or rough stalk bluegrass, is a common seed contaminant, but also can be found like annual bluegrass throughout the landscape. The cool, wet season experienced through much of 2013 will allow populations of Poa triv and annual bluegrass to increase. Both of these grasses are also intolerant for persistent dry conditions. There are limited controls for these weeds in the lawn landscape. However, professionally, especially sports fields and other high-value turf, could use multiple applications of Tenacity, Pilex, or some activity has been demonstrated with the Claim Extra. Again, care should be taken near ornamental plants if using in the lawn landscape. Jared Giordano talks about repetitive overseeding. The slow spring growing season has left many high-use sports fields worn down to bare ground. However, a few local school districts in the county have embraced repetitive overseeding approach espoused by the Cornell Turfgrass Program. This repetitive program is simply the weekly application of low amounts, 2 to 4 pounds per thousand, of a rapidly germinating species such as perennial ryegrass or tall fescue. This approach should commence as the turf season begins to thin. As the soil becomes exposed, our research shows that the repetitive application of seed is cleated in from the players, and over time, 12 weeks typically, the overseeded areas are able to sustain turf cover and permit better footing. The annual bluegrass weevil update this week from Pat Vittem's University of Massachusetts landscape updates. Adults have been moving gradually from their overwintering sites, but we have had many reports of adults on fairways, greens, and tees. Now that the forsythia in western Massachusetts are beginning to show a little green, it's probably about time to apply an adulticide, a product intended to control adults. Your best options are a pyrethroid or chlorpyrifos. Keep in mind that some populations have developed resistance to pyrethroid, so in general, you want to minimize the number of pyrethroid applications you make in a growing season. However, studies conducted in the previous years by Rich Cowles at the Connecticut Agri-Experiment Station and Steve Alm from my old alma mater, the University of Rhode Island, indicate that the overwintering adults tend to be slightly less resistant to pyrethroids than the adults we see in the summer. So if you're going to use a pyrethroid, spring is probably a better time to do it. Just avoid multiple applications during the season. No need to panic. For those of you who are just beginning to see green in the forsythia, if you make an application anytime in the next 10 days, you should be in very good shape. Watch the forecast and avoid spraying before a heavy rain. And finally, my Gazing in the Grass update begins with a note about the National Climate Assessment. The U.S. Global Climate Change Research Program was established by the Presidential Initiative in 1989 and mandated by Congress in the Global Change Research Act of 1990 to, quote, assist the nation and the world to understand, assess, predict, and respond to human-induced and natural processes of global change. They have just released their third national climate assessment. Authors include our own Professor Art DiGaetano and Horticulture Professor David Wolf. Among the many points, here are two worth considering. The Northeast has experienced a greater than recent increase in extreme precipitation than any other region in the United States between 1958 and 2010. The Northeast saw more than 70% increase in the amount of precipitation falling in very heavy events, defined as the heaviest 1% of all daily events. As in other areas, the amount of warming in the Northeast will be highly dependent on global emissions of heat-trapping gases. If emissions continue to increase, warming of 4.5 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit is projected by the 2080s. If global emissions were reduced substantially, projected warming ranges from about 3 to 6 degrees by the 2080s. Under both emission scenarios, the frequency, intensity, and duration of heat waves is expected to increase with much larger increases under higher emissions. Much of the southern portion of the region, including the majority of Maryland and Delaware, southwestern Virginia, West Virginia, and New Jersey, are projected by mid-century to experience many more days per year above 90 degrees Fahrenheit compared to the end of the last century under continued increases in emissions. So hot and wet is expected to continue for the next 60 years. And then finally, a note about the spring growth surge. Above normal low temperatures and adequate soil temperatures and moisture levels will allow for the spring turf growth surge to begin in earnest. It feels about 3 weeks late for my 52-year-old intuition. In either case, this is where grasses will often produce top growth at the expense of root growth. The good news is that you have experienced some turf thinning, now's the time to be sure you have adequate soluble N in place to help turf recover density, to crowd out weeds, and maintain safe sports turf conditions. However, if you're managing turf on older sites greater than 15 to 20 years, it is unlikely you will need to supply any nitrogen, as this will create a further demand of nitrogen for leaf production at the expense of root growth. Now is also a good time to increase mowing frequency to avoid wet clumps of turf shading the existing turf. Turf is also very lush at this time of year. That makes it more susceptible to foliar pathogens such as leaf spot and dollar spot, even brown patch if conditions are conducive for infection and symptom development. Thank you for joining me for the May 12, 2014 installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association, the Turfgrass Environmental Stewardship Fund, and your Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here in the Department of Horticulture at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.